The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Friday, it's the bonus show. Gary, it's the bonus show. How are you?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's the bonus show. I'm all excited about that. Well, I guess my, just checking from my smartphone, apparently my Cleveland friends are very happy.
They won a game.
Browns won a game. They beat the Jets. Last night, so that's like the first time in first win what in almost we're almost to October, so the last win they would have had would have been, I don't even know when the last win they had would have been, in the 2016 season,
right,
so it has
right.
to be, so almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years. Wow, well, go Cleveland.
So they seem to be a little happy.
Well, good. No turning over of cars or
I don't know. I haven't checked. Well, it is only a regular season game.
Well, I know, but it's a win after almost 2 years for Cleveland.
And the other football story is from TMZ that Kaepernick's attorney hinting that the Patriots might sign him. Now, just remember.
To do what?
Well, fill the footballs. Kaepernick's job will be to fill the footballs.
I'm sorry. Kaepernick is supposed to be Brady's backup?
Yes, he is. I do not believe that they are going to bench Brady and make Kaepernick
starter. I didn't think that at all. That never even entered my tiny brain. But I'm still working on the stretch that Kaepernick could fill Brady's position if needed. I'm thinking that even if Brady's in a coma,
he'll be playing.
he would be your better choice. I'm just saying.
I thought there was a chance of a couple of weeks ago that the Bills might want Kaepernick because they don't have a quarterback.
Someone else said that to me, and it wasn't you. It was on vacation. Somebody said that to me, that the Bills might be. You know, I have a friend.
They never said it. It was just they had. You know, they're playing their rookie quarterback.
I have a friend from high school that I graduated with who played for the Patriots for a few years, and is now working for the Bills.
Right. Scouting. Yeah.
And doing scouting and player management or something like that. Personnel management. I'm not sure what that is. But anyway.
Well, for the Bills, it's making sure that they don't quit at halftime.
They don't quit. Please stay. Please stay.
So your job is to make sure that they're there after the first quarter.
That's right.
After the second quarter and after the third quarter. They can go home after. You're the, for the Bills, it's an attendance. You're the attendance monitor.
That's right.
If you're in player management.
That's right. If the Patriots sign Kaepernick, that's just odd. Because the Patriots are the last team that needs a quarterback. But here's the thing. If you've never noticed, Tom Brady is actually listed as first, second, and third string quarterback. For the first time in NFL history, one person fills all those shoes because it's Tom Brady.
Well, when Evan Thomas said that Obama was godlike, he was really referring to
Brady. Oh, yeah, it was right.
But that's pretty sacrilegious.
Yeah.
We got a great show ahead.
We do? All right.
It's a Friday show. I'm just trying to, you know, burn as much time as possible and get out of here and start the weekend.
Yeah. Right. Our rainy weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We got rain coming. Rain here.
That's even a lie. Oh,
yeah.
Did I tell you that Wednesday of our vacation last week?
Yeah.
I was ready to come back.
You were ready to come back.
I visited my parents until Tuesday.
And then I came back
and it was raining.
Right.
And I'm sitting around my house and looking around saying, Can I go back to work today?
No.
They changed the locks for that week.
I thought about texting you, and I realized, no, you were actually on, but you were out of town.
I was still,
I was still
out of town.
You.
I was still in the mountains.
But I was going to text you and just say, all right, I'm ready to go back on Wednesday of vacation.
Right.
So
right.
Whenever I say that, I'm really only kidding because there's just too much going on. I will say this, though, that when I woke up last night and went, geez, this story is moving, you know, the whole story with, you know, Ford's lawyers now and the new terms that they are setting down with Republicans that we'll hit in just a moment. It isn't Trump. It's social media. The reason that news moves so quick now is social media.
Yes, yes.
You know, at times a lot of people said, well, it's because Trump tweets. Well, that's because social media exists. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter whether the president's doing 20 tweets. It doesn't matter because tweeting has become the news. Press releases that then show up on Twitter. And that's why it just goes so quickly. But I woke up and I went, wow, you go to sleep just for a couple of hours and you feel like you're lost. But coming up on the show, new terms for Ford's team are from Ford's a team of lawyers. A suggestion to the GOP? No. Tell them no.
Well,
did you see one of the requests in the terms?
That he has to go first? Kavanaugh has to testify first.
Kavanaugh has to testify first.
That's not how it goes. You're bringing the charge about, then he gets to respond to the charge.
Right.
What's he going to respond to? What's he going to say? What questions would you ask Kavanaugh if he were to go first?
Well, this is a continuation of what we said yesterday. Remember, you know, they dropped the one thing about the FBI investigation. We said, well, that's not going to go anywhere. I mean, they're asking for conditions that are impossible.
Right.
And so now they asked another one that, in I guess it's not impossible, but it's a non-starter. You don't try to figure out. You don't try to figure out what's going on in a situation by having the defendant testify first.
Right. But here's what it comes down to. You know, Grassley, the word late Thursday, Grassley was had conversations with her lawyers and was going to basically take what he learned back to the committee. Why?
Right.
Because nothing has changed in terms of she was prepared when she talked to the Washington Post. She was prepared when she sent the letter in July. She's been prepared for a while. Saying, no, we need more time is a stall tactic. Because, okay, imagine that Grassley, because they said it's possible, her lawyers, possible she would be ready by Thursday of next week. Well, what do you think is going to happen on Monday or Tuesday? Well, she's not ready. It's possible she'll be ready by Monday.
Well, we had said this
the following Monday.
We had said in last night's show, this in all likelihood will be the scenario, so we're not surprised by what happened.
No.
Because we had called it last
night. Because it is the softer stall tactic.
Right.
In other words, no. She wants to testify. But here are the conditions, which are impossible to meet. Kavanaugh's not going to testify first because he would have nothing to respond to. What would you ask him? Because she claims, you don't know what she claims officially because she hasn't testified here.
Right.
So there's no way for him to do that. That's not going to happen.
I'm sorry, but when I saw that when I woke up, was that when I woke up?
It happened. A lot of this happened and developed late.
It might have been when I saw that one. And I just burst out laughing. That's not good.
Well, there's no, I mean, there's, that's not going to happen. But imagine that they moved it to, to Thursday. Well, unless they made a commitment, and they would have to make the commitment right now, Thursday,
right.
And Thursday is it, which means Wednesday is your deadline to get your prepared testimony and your biography to the committee. Wednesday at 10 a.m. would be the deadline. If they moved it to Tuesday, than it would give her, because you have to have it. The rule says that you have to have your prepared testimony at 10 a.m. the previous business day. But if they moved it to Tuesday, that would give her lawyers three more days, essentially two more days, extra days, not just one, because she would have the entire weekend to prepare the testimony and biography. I would say if you moved it, if they decide to move it, which I don't think they should do, at the latest it should be Tuesday. You still have time to get the vote in by the end of the week. And that gives her team until Monday at 10 a.m. to get the prepared testimony done and in, well, and the biography. And that gives her two extra days, the entire weekend, or three, really, full days, and Monday morning,
right,
to get them their deadline. But they should
what's going on here is obvious. They keep saying, well, we're willing to testify,
right,
with terms that we know you'll never accept.
Right. And therefore,
every day that you don't accept all of the terms,
yeah,
well, now it's not next Thursday, then it has to go to the next Tuesday, and then it has to go back to the next week. And there will always be the willingness, as I've said, the lawyers, as I said last night, the lawyers to me are taking a page out of Kim Jong-un. Mm-hmm. Just keep promising things, and then back off on them, and then say, well, no, we're willing to talk if, when Kim Jong-un said, well, we're willing to denuclearize if United States is willing to do the same. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not going to happen, but you stretch it out another day and another week. And look how long Kim Jong-un has been able to stretch it out, a couple of decades. And they're thinking, geez, all we got to do is try to stretch it out until November. And not only just stretch it out until November, but hope that somebody else comes along and has an accusation against him. Mm-hmm. Because that would be the next thing, would be somebody else coming out saying the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That it could, you can't prove that it ever happened. It happened, 30 years ago, whatever. And because this thing has stuck so long, you were telling me the other day that you had read Kimberly Strassel's editorial or op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal, and you and I actually never talked about it. But she's right, that if they lose Kavanaugh, then forget about it. Mm-hmm. The Democrats then now know that the resistance works. You can make any claim, even if you can't verify it, and you can stop the Republicans,
yep,
from doing what they wish to do.
Yep.
And so you embolden the Democrats if you do this. That's why I believe it's time to take a hard line. I can see if I agree with you, if Grassley comes out and says, okay, sorry, you testify first Tuesday, that's it.
Yep.
One more day.
Which gives you actually two more days to work on it, because it gives, yes, you the weekend. And this is going to, this will satisfy everyone's needs. And if you can't get it done, she's not ready Monday, but she would be ready Thursday. Tell me what that 72 hours means.
But I don't think it's serious.
No,
it's not serious. Because you don't come out.
Cause that would be the only condition. If she's not ready.
Right.
Well, no, then they added the condition Kavanaugh has to go first and respond to what? What questions would you ask Kavanaugh if you put him up there first?
Right.
You wouldn't, because he has to be able to respond to the claims.
Well, wait a minute. How can you put Kavanaugh there first? How can Republicans ask questions when they haven't seen the unredacted letter?
That's my whole point. You have to assume everyone but Feinstein is completely ignorant of the facts, which actually, technically, they would be. Now, they probably learned what we have learned and maybe know a little bit more, but it doesn't matter. The response is she's going to make claims in the official setting.
Right.
Under oath.
Right.
That's what he will be responding to, not the Washington Post article, not anything else. It's what she says under oath,
right,
her testimony.
Right. The only thing that he can respond to is the testimony that she makes under oath.
Yep.
Not what anybody else has said, not what a friend of hers has said and deleted on Facebook, not what anybody else has said except her testimony under oath, which the accuser's allegations, I can't believe I'm saying this.
I know.
The accuser's allegation has to come first before the defense brings up their defense. You can't have a defense unless you know what the accuser's charges are. The lawyers know it. Everybody knows it. It's the most obvious stall tactic in the world. And be honest with you, I understand the Tuesday thing, but if I were him, I'd come back and say, you people aren't serious.
My answer is no. Yeah, my answer is no. But if you delay it, don't delay it any longer than one day, and that being Tuesday, because you give them, you give the team an extra 2.5 days to prepare everything. If they're looking for, because Monday is the date right now. Monday is the day right now. They're looking for 72 hours. Well, you'll give them essentially close to 72 hours by extending it to Tuesday because you have the weekend for preparation.
Right.
But I would say my answer would be no.
In a little over 9.5 hours?
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to be the deadline for Monday. So we're going to know early Friday whether they're willing to move it back or not. But yeah, this will be a decision that's going to be made. I don't know. So you say Grassley said that he's bringing it back to the committee and he really had no comment?
Well, he really didn't have any comment. He spoke with her attorneys and then he was going to return to the committee and go over some things, I guess, basically present to the committee their conditions.
It's so bizarre.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
By the way, I wouldn't give them that. I would, if he's the chairman, he can make the decision. He doesn't have to, and he's doing it out of respect. It's just the way that Grassley operates. But frankly, you're giving them way too much, because giving them extra rope isn't going to hang them in the proverbial sense. It's going to hang you.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Does this mean now Cory Booker can't run for president because he's unfit? Because he had admitted way back when that he had groped a girl in high school.
Right.
Makes him unfit now. He must withdraw, correct? And he admitted it.
Yeah. I mean, if the standard applies there, and certainly the left doesn't have a double standard.
No, not at all. It's their integrity is beyond reproach.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, when you stumble over the word, you lose the effect of the statement.
Well actually, you were saying integrity or someone based
okay,
on the left.
Right,
so I could see where the stumble happened. Your mouth was going, I can't do that.
Brain,
I can't say integrity.
My brain couldn't process it.
Yeah.
Coming up on the show, the new terms from Ford's lawyers to the Senate Judiciary Committee, completely and totally unacceptable. New bombshell claim that came out yesterday on that. We'll tell you about the Democratic representative that showed his true colors on this, and this guy's really a piece of work. Looks like it wasn't aliens that closed down that New Mexico observatory.
No, they weren't there that day. They were there on a different day.
yes, Michael Moore threatens or promises to move to Canada.
Yeah.
If he gets in trouble with this movie, what a drama queen. Seriously.
Yes. The government is coming for me.
If I get in trouble with the movie, I'm going to move to Canada.
Yeah. All right there.
Wow.
Cupcake.
So that more on the way here.
For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
Flooding in the Carolinas is not expected to crest for some rivers until Monday or Tuesday of next week. And that, of course, means more road closures in the area. Portions of I-95 were closed for a time. So even the major interstates being affected in the region, as well as the state highways and local roads. In the early morning hours, a frontal boundary will extend from the upper Great Lakes down to southern Texas. Now that rain will be sweeping toward the east. We'll see the greatest amount of rainfalls around an area of low pressure in the upper Midwest and Great Lakes region. So look for showers today north of I-90 in North and South Dakota and in Minnesota and Wisconsin, extending down I-35 for a good part of the day through Des Moines, Topeka, and Oklahoma City. Later this afternoon, we could see heavy amounts of rain for eastern Texas and southern Louisiana along I-10. Those showers make their way to the East Coast by Saturday and Sunday. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
The Bonus Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
Bonus show.
Yeah, it is the bonus show. 866-90-RED-EYE. Yes, the big news out there. Cleveland won. The Browns won.
Yeah.
Which means it's the end of the world.
I do have a feeling that a lot of my Cleveland Brown Facebook friends are up late tonight. Yeah. I have a feeling there may be a couple of adult beverages being that are being broken out.
Mm.
Because they're all up tweeting and Facebooking. And it's like, guys, it's one game. Oh, that's right. You hadn't won one in almost 2 years.
Yeah.
But I was, as I'm sitting back here, just to see where we are, you know, see where we are today, just the entire, you know, the entire umbrella of what has happened with the Christine Ford allegation against, you know, Brett Kavanaugh. And I think about what we're doing on this show, for example, and the arguments and the questions that we have brought up. But when you look at the on this particular issue, the things that we have said, you need evidence in any one of these cases.
Mm-hmm.
When you bring something forward, the only thing that matters is the evidence to back it up. An allegation in itself is not good enough. This is not to make a judgment on what she believes has happened to her. It is not to have sympathy and concern for her. It is the reality of the system that we live under.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is an allegation itself is not a verdict of guilty from the person who you accuse of a particular crime.
Right.
That is an American standard. And we will argue that all the time because we believe that that is the morally correct way for a society to operate when an allegation, you know, is made. And we have stuck with that, you know, all throughout it. Mm-hmm. Evidence is what matters. And if you've listened to the show, we said the same thing, whether it was Trayvon Martin, whether it was Michael Brown and Ferguson. The only thing that matters is not what you think.
Nope.
All that matters is the evidence. You and I remember going back to the whole Trayvon Martin thing, and even from both sides, you know, that I can't think of his name, Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
Zimmerman was a racist on one end.
Mm-hmm.
On the other end, yeah, but they didn't show you the correct picture of Trayvon Martin. I mean, there's a pictures of Trayvon Martin where, you know, he looked, you know, he looked more like a hood.
Mm-hmm.
You and I said, doesn't matter. None of that matters. Mm-hmm. The only thing that matters is what happened. What is the evidence of that crime? What happened 2 days before doesn't matter. What happened 5 days before doesn't matter. It's the evidence of that particular case. You know, when Mark Judge came out, I was reading, you know, liberal blogs. Well, he's not helping Kavanaugh at all because he wrote about, you know, being a drunk in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Got nothing to do with it.
Nope.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing to do with it. The only thing that matters is the evidence of a particular crime. And so when you have anybody come out and say, without knowing the evidence, I believe her or I believe him. Without question, unless you're a close family member or friend, you're guessing.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to, is that we don't know what happened. What we do in a situation like this, the process is about credibility. There is not going to be an investigation on a criminal level. The statute of limitations on any crime that might be related to this has passed, so that's not going to happen. There's not going to be anything else in terms of any legal action against a Kavanaugh. It is only going to be the telling of the story, the claim versus the response. That's it. There is nothing that's going to prove anything. Nothing. We would have seen that by now. There will be nothing that will necessarily disprove anything. It will be about who believes Kavanaugh, who believes Ford. End of story.
And so we have, and I believe the vast majority of Republicans have said, well, yeah, I mean, it's a serious allegation, but it's an allegation. You know, where is the, you know, where is the evidence? And you need evidence if you're going to stop this procedure, mm-hmm. which, again, is a very American justice point of view. Mm-hmm. The morality of American justice. OK, allegation can be taken seriously. What's the evidence to back it up?
Right.
What is the other side's arguments? And these are from senators and congressional representatives. Mm-hmm. Men need to shut up. You never get a fair shot with white men. Too many white men in the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Yeah.
She's being silenced, as Gillibrand said yesterday from New York. She is. Nobody is silencing her. She can speak whenever she wants. There's nobody attempting to silence her. When you think about it, one side is saying we want evidence. In order to make the case, you have to have the evidence. The other side is making these broad, insane claims.
Yeah.
That's the world that we live in almost every single issue that we deal with Democrats today in. And I thought it was important just to lay that out. To say, what's one side asking for as opposed to what is the other side saying? And not from the radical fringe, but senators and congresspeople.
Well, and that's, you know, this is really the task at hand is to one side wants to convince essentially a handful of senators. Both sides want to convince that same handful of senators. It's not about convincing a Cory Booker, a Kamala Harris. They're solid no's for a number of reasons, but it's not for them. They're not going to vote yes on Kavanaugh. So this comes down to convincing a handful, and what we could probably narrow it down to 5 or 6 senators. That's what this is all about. So it is not going to be we're not going to see the back and forth like a criminal trial or even a civil trial. You'll see the circus if the hearing does take place. But you've seen the circus all along. That's just the Beltway Circus. And certainly in a situation like this. But we knew this. Because Kavanaugh's the tipping point. If he's seated on the bench for the highest court, this is a tipping point for this country for a very long time. And you look at the potential because we are not even 2 years into this current administration. And you look at the potential of seating of this president, nominating and seating a third justice at SCOTUS. Well, you think this is a circus. You just wait. You just wait. So this is... None of this is really out of the ordinary, as you mentioned a minute ago, Gary. It's not unexpected. We knew this was all of this. This is the tactics being used, the circus itself. This is all expected. But what it comes down to is the process. Are we going to allow the disruption of the process in any setting because someone claims something? Grassley's really giving her attorneys way too much room. We said this about doing the hearing in public. But now the consideration that, well, okay, we'll talk to the lawyers and see maybe if we could delay it. Sorry. Ford and her lawyers have had since July to prepare. They knew. You reach out to lawmakers on a situation like this to get to bring attention to that incident that you say happened. There's no other reason. You didn't call somebody you know. You wrote a member of Congress who sent it to Dianne Feinstein. This has been in place since July. the bogus argument that you're not prepared and that you would be fully prepared as early as 72 hours later doesn't fly.
No, it doesn't.
It's a stall tactic.
We'll get to your calls and comments coming up here. If you'd like to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls, 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye, as the legal circus continues with the allegation against Brett Kavanaugh. Ford's attorneys now coming out saying, well, she would be willing to testify, but the earliest would be next Thursday, and Kavanaugh would have to testify first, which, of course, is just absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Because you... when you're in a setting like that where everybody is under oath, the defense can only respond in that setting to what was said in that setting by the person who is making the allegation.
Mm-hmm.
If the person who's making the allegation doesn't speak first, there's no way to question the defendant.
No.
Or the perceived defendant, because he's not a defendant in a criminal case, but it is a political case where you're still under oath.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're trying to, when the attempt is to figure out whether there is any credibility to a charge, the person who is making the allegation always has to go first.
Yep.
You said that Grassley said, we're talking to the break, and you're telling me that Grassley said that, or his office said that he had talked to the attorneys and now is bringing it back to talk to other members of the committee.
Yeah, that according to the Washington Post, that happened late on Thursday. And let me see if I can get the quote. Yeah, the chairman, here's the quote from the story of the Washington Post. The chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Senator Charles E. Grassley of Iowa, said through a spokesman late Thursday that he would be consulting with colleagues on how to proceed. And also that Kavanaugh wrote Grassley a letter saying he looks forward to testifying. There is a quote from that letter from Kavanaugh, from Brett Kavanaugh, and the letter to Grassley, quote, it was written to Grassley, and it was released by the White House, quote from Brett Kavanaugh, I continue to want a hearing as soon as possible so that I can clear my name. Since the moment that I first heard this allegation, I have categorically and unequivocally denied it. I remain committed to defending my integrity. Brett Kavanaugh, end quote. Mm-hmm. So there, that.
And by the way, he's already talked to the committee under oath.
Yeah,
he has. Kavanaugh has.
Mm-hmm. So you look at the situation where, all right, Grassley's looking to his colleagues. This is, he's doing what a chairman respectfully would do in a situation like this, present it to the rest of the committee. All right, how do we want to proceed here? But he is the chairman. He has the ultimate say, and he does hold that power to be able to say, all right, we're going to proceed. It's just like when Kamala Harris was trying to disrupt him, the first time when they opened, and they thought that protest was going to shut it down, and they were going to delay it based on all the documents that they got. Well, that didn't happen. And it didn't happen because the chairman is the one who has the gavel. He is the one who makes that decision. And he will make ultimately the decision here. But he's, going out of his way to show respect to the other senators on that committee. And we'll see what happens if there is any kind of statement issued in the morning. And remember, as far as we know, nothing has changed. The deadline still is 10 a.m. Eastern for the Ford team, her lawyers,
well,
to have that prepared statement and biography to the committee.
And here's what they face now, because he's going back with what they told him were the terms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by the time he goes back to them tomorrow, the 10 a.m. deadline is come and gone,
right?
Which means we're already to Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Because unless they're talking, you know, or we're talking during the evening on Thursday and had that conversation. But you're right. It's delaying the process nonetheless. But they will have a few hours in the morning to make that decision and whether they're going to delay it or not, because that deadline is the first step in the process right now. That's the first deadline.
Well, look, I just can't imagine what Grassley thought mm-hmm. when they said, well, you know, one of the part of the terms are that Kavanaugh has to testify first. Mm-hmm. You know, he had to say that's a non-starter.
Not going to happen. You will make the accusation. He will respond to the accusation. End of story.
Right.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. We do appreciate it. Where we stand right now on the Ford allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh is that her attorneys have now said that they're willing to testify, but it would have to be at the earliest next Thursday, and Kavanaugh would have to testify first, which, of course, is a non-starter to begin with. Mm-hmm. Whether it is a civil court, whether it is a criminal court, whether it is a political court, the prosecution, those that are saying that a crime was committed are the ones that testify first, because there's no way for a defense to defend themselves if they don't know officially in that setting where everybody is under oath what the accusations against them are.
We have to assume that regardless of what Kavanaugh knows, that she would, through her testimony, claim new facts or introduce new facts as she sees them, introduce new claims as she sees them, or details about the scenario. The reason it's crucial, in fact, it's impossible for him to respond to anything without the claim, the official claim. But the reason is because there are going to be details, and that's where the questioning comes in. Well, did you know her? That's where it's going to start. Did you know her in school? When you were in high school, did you know this person? How close were you? How often did you see each other? Describe the settings generally in which you would socialize with this person. And then it would go on to the details. But those details have to be given first by the person making the claim. That's how it's done.
And the fact that this has been brought up by the lawyers show that they're not really serious.
They are putting something impossible. You know, you and I talked about it at the pre-show meeting for the Thursday morning show. You know, I said to you, you know, she's trying to Kim Jong-un her way through this entire, you know, or her lawyers are, entire equation. Yeah, well, if the U.S. does away with all their nukes, that's not going to happen, Kim Jong-un. You make the impossible, you put up the impossible ask. And that's exactly what she's done. That's what her lawyers have done. And if it's one of the conditions, and they're saying there's no way she'll testify without that condition being met, it's not going to happen. It is simply not going to happen. Grassley, again.
Well, as far as I can see, her lawyers are mm-hmm. the ones that are attempting to silence her.
Right. Because they're creating a situation they know can't take place. Right. They're lawyers. They know this.
Yeah, of course they do.
So there's, and they also know that this is deliberate in an attempt to make it impossible for her to testify.
Let us go to Jeff on Long Island. Jeff, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
I was just thinking that I wouldn't be surprised if they come up with another way to force the Republicans' hands to give her more time. And I would not be surprised if over the weekend you hear that the stress and anxiety that she claims she is under has caused her to be sick. And I would not be surprised if she checks herself into a hospital and says that she can't testify until she then gets medical clearance to testify. Yeah. And I was just wondering what you think of the possibility of that.
Yeah, that's not going to fly because it doesn't.
Right.
It is not going to that's not something that the committee is responsible for accommodating.
Right. So. And again, when you see the obvious stall tactics that have been already been, you know, put in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and then what we saw last night, the fact that Kavanaugh has to testify first. Like I said, when I saw that, I burst out laughing. I said,
yeah.
Wow. And I thought about Kirsten Gillibrand of New York stating that they're trying to silence her. And all I could think was her own lawyers are trying to silence her.
Yeah.
Her own lawyers are putting up barriers from having her speak. Nobody's trying. This is the asinine, you know, I guess logic that the Democrats are trying to sell you. I don't know anybody who's trying to shut her up.
No.
Except the only people that are trying to move forward that story are her own lawyers.
Yeah. Yep.
And of course, Dianne Feinstein not bringing this and trying to fast track this when it first came out back in July. When she first got the letter.
Right.
Let us head to John in Washington, D.C. John, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good. How you guys doing? I hope I can make a couple of quick points. You hit the nail on your head when you said Kavanaugh is the tipping point. It's not only because of Roe versus Wade, but it's because of his view against Trump, potentially a case coming before him. The law does not matter here. The vote should have still took place last Thursday. They had enough time. I think it was 3 or 4 days. They should have said, hey, look, we've already gone through the hearings. All of the questions have been answered. She's had this letter since July. If you want us to take into consideration before our vote, we're going to take this vote on Thursday, but we're willing to allow you to come to testify on Thursday. They should have stuck with the original vote. So they're winning the PR battle. They're winning it. What happened with Anita Hill back in 1991 would never happen to the level the way they were questioning her and cross-examining, et cetera, et cetera. You could look at how they're handling this case. And I'm telling you right now that right now Kavanaugh is losing the PR battle. I mean, even the guy that was supposedly in the room with him, yeah, he's denying it. But at the same time, what he wrote in the yearbook, those things are coming back to haunt him. Talking about.
Yeah, I really don't. I've heard about this, the PR. I really don't care about the PR. I just care about him getting seated. The PR is what the PR is. I can only deal with the evidence and the truth.
Well, I don't think the left is winning on this. I would disagree, John. I don't think they're winning.
When they stop the vote, and they're dictating the terms right now.
No, what they're controlling is the echo chamber. That has nothing to do with changing the vote.
And that's all this is an echo chamber, because he can't be prosecuted. What I'm telling you is, you can say what you want to say, because you already said that the law, the evidence is what matters, and it doesn't. Evidence does not matter. If the evidence mattered,
actually, we didn't say that. No,
He did.
We didn't.
What did he say?
No, what we said was is it's about believability. It's about a claim versus a response. There is no evidence, John. What evidence?
I wrote down what you said.
John, there is no evidence.
What I said was what the arguments that are coming from the Republicans versus the Democrats is what I pointed out. And what I pointed out is, and let me finish here, that the Republicans are making the argument that the allegation itself does isn't the important thing. It's the evidence behind it. If there is no evidence behind it, the vote continues to make him a Supreme Court justice. That's the argument that they are making.
There's nothing that to support her claim.
It's not a horrible argument to make. It's an argument that every American understands.
It's exactly the situation that we're in. There is no evidence.
Right. To sit there and say there is no evidence and therefore the vote is going to continue is not a weak argument.
There's nothing to back her claim. Nothing. There will be no witness up there with her in testimony. None. Ford will make her claim. Kavanaugh will respond. There's no evidence.
There are no witnesses. There is no forensics. It's an allegation. And we believe that the argument that now, if they keep backing off, then that's the Republicans' fault. It doesn't mean Republicans back off from strong arguments all the time. We've criticized them consistently for that.
Right.
If you believe that that's a bad argument, you may have bad players who can't argue a great argument, but the argument itself is an extremely strong argument that every American understands, that somebody who was accused is innocent until proven guilty.
Well, ultimately, John, we're making the same point, because John's saying, well, no, the evidence, it will be essentially about believability, and that's exactly what we said. The only thing you're trying to do is change the minds of roughly six senators. That's
right.
It.
But the believability has to be backed by evidence, which is what the Republicans' argument
has been.
For
most people, yes.
Right.
I mean, there will be some that believe her and some that don't believe her. The question is, will a Collins believe her?
Right, but my point is, I'm not worried about the bad PR. Well, the polls are moving a little bit and 5% of the... I don't care. I just care about him getting seated. I care about Republicans doing the right thing and getting him seated. There is no evidence.
Look, once this happens, once the vote happens, if he's confirmed, this thing goes away quickly.
Yes.
And that's my point, John, on the whole echo chamber thing. The echo chamber, the content of that echo and the source of that echo changes on a daily basis. And it will change the day after he's confirmed, if he's confirmed.
But what doesn't change is the fact of people looking at the case and saying, okay, what do we have here? Number one, people understand that I don't believe that anybody... Now, any Democrat, if you get them privately, knows this is simply about stopping him. Mm-hmm. They don't care about her.
No.
They don't care about whether she was a victim of sexual assault.
Feinstein doesn't care about her.
No, she didn't care.
She didn't make sure. Feinstein knows the process. She's been around way too long to not know it. She knew in receiving that letter at that moment, she knew she could do something, and she didn't. She held it. That's on her. So, but what this is all about, when you look at it, and it's funny because Britt Hume tweeted something that we had said earlier this week, and that is, and you made the point, you were the first person I ever heard make the point the other night on the show, and that is, Gary, you said, this is bringing together the split Republican Party, even some of those never-Trumpers. For Kavanaugh, this is bringing a lot of support together. So now let's play that out for the whole, publicity game or what they're winning or not winning. What do you actually have that's in play? Let's think of the Joe Manchin, Donnelly, and Heitkamp. They're in Trump country, and right now people on the Trump side are livid about this. If there has ever been a greater pressure on the Kavanaugh vote itself, up until now, I don't know of one for those three individuals, but especially Heitkamp and Joe Manchin. The pressure on them to vote right now is greater for Kavanaugh on confirmation is greater than it's ever been because of this sideshow. That's the reality. You can say they're winning something. Well, you're buying into the hype of the liberal media.
Well, and Brett Hume, just to read what he said, the political right badly split over Trump is united in support of Kavanaugh. Very few exceptions. It was a point that we made on last night's show. Mm-hmm. He made it yesterday. I had sent it to you, and I said, okay, because now, you know, again, it's something that I saw on social media, and this was from the never-Trumper Republican conservatives mm-hmm. who are absolutely backing Kavanaugh on this and right. view this as a cheap political shot. And as it continues to go on, and then last night, again, with Kavanaugh doing it, if John believes, and I think you made a great point about John, you're buying into the hype of what the you're was being sold by the leftist media.
You're buying into what they're what right. you're hearing and but, what you're hearing and what you've been hearing. Well, John, if you do that, then you believe that Trump is guilty of collusion.
Right. But the actual argument in itself that I said that Republicans are using mm-hmm. is much stronger with the culture of American justice with the average American than what the Democrats are attempting to sell you, mm-hmm. which is all white men are bad.
Right.
All men should shut up. You must believe the person who makes, you must believe the woman who makes the allegation no matter what.
Yep.
Most Americans know, no, it's the evidence. It's the evidence in every case that counts. There may be some that don't. The mainstream media isn't promoting that narrative. You may be buying into it. I don't believe the majority of America is. And if the polls move a few points either way, I don't care. My only goal, get him seated.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Drivers, the Freightliner Team Run Smart Pros are on the road hauling freight just like you. Driver Jeff Clark tells us about his Freightliner and his role as a Team Run Smart Pro.
I've got the 2018 new Cascadia. It's got the 400 downspeed engine with 1750 torque. I've got the 228 rear ends. It's got Detroit Assurance system as far as the collision mitigation system and that type of thing. I work a lot with the collision mitigation system in showing drivers how that works. To me, the collision mitigation system becomes a training tool. Remember the old Smith system where we were taught to think 7 second following distance, think out 15 seconds? If you start relating that to collision mitigation system, the idea is most collision mitigation systems don't interact until 3.5 seconds. So the goal is to get drivers to increase their following distance, out-anticipate the machine, because the machine anticipates at 3.5 seconds. If you're thinking out 4.5 to 5 seconds, keeping the machine from interacting, from doing any of the haptic brake events, you'll actually start increasing your fuel mileage. And most maintenance managers will tell you the drivers who get the best fuel mileage also have the lowest maintenance costs.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to Gary in Colorado. Gary, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
I'm going to say good morning to my two favorite Nighthawks, man. First of all, I want to say to both of you, y'all do an amazing thing by keeping us awake, us drivers, at night.
Thanks.
And
thank you.
Y'all kept me awake last night, and I was trying to get on the show, and I was on hold, but I ended up falling asleep. I couldn't stay awake long enough. But I'm glad this discussion is still going. Here's the litigant question. I was just thinking about this while I was, you know, on hold. Here's a question that should be asked. And I don't want to try and act like I'm making anything up, but something in my mind is telling me that earlier this week there was discussion about this woman once her name was leaked. Something about she was afraid to come forward because of the perceived power of this soon-to-be Chief Justice. The question would be is, what power did this 17-year-old boy have at the time that would have made her not come forward and actually file police action against him at the time that this matter occurred? So essentially, she waited over 36 years and want to say, I was assaulted by this justice. I don't have evidence. There's no proof. you can't prosecute him, but he's guilty. And then you got this bimbo up in New York saying, we're supposed to believe all that. Is that what I'm understanding? And then your guy, John, is saying, you know, they're winning what hype? They're winning. Don't believe the hype, John. Okay,
yeah.
Most Americans are just like Gary and Eric are saying. We're not buying into this crap. We can't get to the voting booth quick enough to vote their butts out. That is where we need to go.
Yeah, as for
if
her,
we don't
as,
go to the voting
right.
booth, we lose.
Yeah, as for
thanks,
her, again, the explanation is, and I don't know, but her explanation was that she wanted to remain anonymous because she didn't want to be part of the zoo that happened. Well, you can't remain anonymous and make an accusation like that against a Supreme Court justice, and that's what Feinstein should have told her at the very beginning.
Is overrated. It's better to be right than happy. Gary and Eric, Red Eye Radio.
What? Right makes me happy.
Okay.
866-90-RED-EYE. If you would like to get in, we would love to hear from you.
Mm.
There are other news items.
No, there aren't.
Out there. Michael Moore says he'll move to Canada
right.
if new film leads to trouble.
Leads to, okay, what kind of trouble? They're coming after me. Trump is going to come after me. No, he's not.
Where did I see? I just read the headline. Mm-hmm. And isn't it funny? Normally, maybe 5 years ago, I would have read this headline. But mm-hmm. now it's just, I read the headlines and I go, oh, please. I think it was Politico. What if Trump won't leave the office? What happens then?
What do you mean, won't leave the office? See, they're thinking like Brennan. They're thinking like the left. Because what they're saying is...
Thinking like John Kerry.
Exactly.
I'm still Secretary of State,
that's
damn it.
Right. They're thinking, this is how they think. Because what did Brennan say the other night? Well, look, he can declassify it, but... The Justice Department and everybody involved needs to resist, you know, completely and fully. You know, they want you to, they say, well, this is noble. Actually, it's not.
No, it's not.
This is a duly elected president, and he has the authority. And if given an order, you should follow it, whether you like it or not. You don't get to pick and choose what you like to follow if you are a public servant, whether you're in a position of power and authority or not. Whether you're part of the rank and file, you have to follow orders. Given a directive, you follow that order. Otherwise, you're breaking the law, and that's a disgrace to this country. End of story. And I would say the same thing about any other president, including the last president. Well, even if you didn't support the guy politically, if you work in a position where a directive is given from the highest office, you follow that directive. And if you can't, quit. Get out.
Oh, I just...
But this is how they think, Gary. For them, it would be... I mean, you know, it should have been Obama should have refused to leave office. Right. I read a story. So I was doing some research on some things. I read a story from... it was like November 2nd or something of 2016. Obama is asking all of his appointees to make way for Hillary. Remember, there was always, this was before the election, mm-hmm. just days before yeah. the election. Always a 20 or 95% chance she was going to win. And the story was written in the tone that there really was no outside chance. Well, they did mention, well, if Trump wins, and they did say it, if she wins, the entire story was about Obama basically, you know, telling the people in his departments, look, you need to be ready for the incoming administration, which, of course, everyone thought was going to be Hillary. And I just, you look at what has happened since then. that was such a mundane mindset. If you think of 2016 and look back and just do some research and find some old stories pre-election, the craziness had not hit yet from the left. And now it's over the top. What if he decides he's not going to leave the... Where in the hell did you even get that from? What are you smoking? The mindset is just gone. They really are. I mean, it's like they're sitting inside a dark room and their mind is just going 900 miles an hour. And they're just coming up with all of these different fears or scenarios, or on the other side of that, trying to plant fear in people's minds. What do you mean, what if he decides not? He doesn't get to make that decision. The people do.
Well, Michael Moore can make the decision to leave if he wants.
Yeah.
Well, that's if Canada will have.
Well,
Canada, do you want Michael Moore? 866-90-RED-EYE. Any Canadians can get in. Do you want Michael Moore? You know, you can have him.
Sure. You know, a lot of people thought he was Canadian for a long time.
I know. Well, I think wasn't his grandfather somebody from Canada? Mm-hmm. He's sort of like my, you know, because my dad's
right.
side,
yeah.
my grandfather immigrated from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And a little after 1900.
Yeah. And why Canada and not Mexico? Why is he so racist?
Not my grandfather, you mean Michael Moore.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have.
Make sure.
Michael Moore.
I didn't find out until a couple of years ago. Nobody ever talked about it. And I was talking with my father one time, and I think my nephew told me it. He was having the discussion with my father, and he said, well, you know why, you know, great-grandfather, you know, he never met him, but said, you know why he left Canada? He said, because of the bigotry of Irish, you know, that was perpetrated towards Irish Catholic. I'm like, no way. He said, yeah. I talked to my dad. He goes, yeah, didn't you know that? And I said, no, nobody ever told me. So, no, that's the reason that he came across, because of the incredible prejudice of Irish Catholics in portions of Ontario, the early part of, you know, the 1900s. I said, you're kidding me. And I did some research. It was like, it was apparently unbelievable. So that's, you know, why. So I think that Michael Moore, you know, he's got ancestors that came from there. So,
yeah.
To you we go, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Matt in Pennsylvania. Matt, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Eric. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. Very good.
Hey, I just want to get in on this conversation like everybody else. You know, you guys made a very good point a few minutes ago. The American people are absolutely furious about this time. It's not just the right that's furious. I can't believe that any American is dumb enough to accept this pushing forward with these ridiculous accusations and allegations against, and I'm going to call him Justice Kavanaugh because he's going to be seated. We're going to refer to him like President Trump is Justice Kavanaugh. It's just the absurdity that we're accepting this, and I want to commend Senator Grassley for pushing back on this thing a little bit and saying, hey, we're going to have this meeting whether you like it or not.
We're
going to have it on Monday, and that's but remember now the new terms are next Thursday, and Kavanaugh has to testify first, and Grassley is bringing that back. We'll know though in the next few hours.
I mean,
we're going to know by 10 o'clock.
We're going to know by 10 o'clock.
Everybody in America knows how ridiculous and absurd that is. What in the world is Justice Kavanaugh going to answer to? I mean, unless there's an official allegation against him, what's he going to answer, the Washington Post news story?
Right.
Maybe he should just write an op-ed.
Well, this is something, and I think it bears repeating here, Matt, especially as you fold that into your comments. This hearing is not about what has been going on in the court of public opinion, whether it's the Washington Post or any other story on Ford and Kavanaugh. It is not going to be that setting. It is a setting in which she will be asked questions and she will make a statement. She'll have an opening statement and then she will be asked questions. She will make claims and then he will respond to those claims in that setting, not to something somebody tweeted, not to something a lawyer said on CNN, not to the Washington Post story. Kavanaugh will respond directly to those claims made
under oath.
In that setting under oath. Nothing else matters. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't have someone trying to introduce something from the outside, but the only thing that he is obligated to do is essentially, in this case, is to respond to those claims that she has made under oath. End of story.
Of course. And I see that as do you. But can we step back and take a look at the bigger picture here? I mean, this seems to be the standard diversion tactic of the left. The real story of today is what's going to come out in the FISA documentations. This is just a non-story. It's so absurd and ridiculous, and everybody is entertaining this thing as if it has some merit. It has zero merit. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, what? I lost you there. You mean the declassification has no merit, or what's going on with Kavanaugh has no merit?
No. These ridiculous allegations have no merit.
Because I was going to say the declassified documents will have some merit, I believe.
Well, they will, and that's the real story of today. It's not this ridiculousness that's going on.
Right.
We're being diverted from information that Americans need. We're paying attention to this nonsense. I mean, this woman might as well be another Stormy Daniels writing a book, which I'm sure she's going to write her book. Very shortly, we'll all be able to buy a copy from CNN. Really, we need to get back and focus on things that are really going on. We need to seat Judge Kavanaugh and stop tolerating this ridiculousness in the Senate.
Well, the reason the ridiculousness is tolerated is because half of the country agrees with it.
You can't really believe that.
All right, let me rephrase that.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly 30-40% does.
Yeah, they say they do.
Absolutely terrifying.
They keep electing these people.
Ocasio-Cortez this is how an Ocasio-Cortez wins. She's clueless.
Okay, you know what? That's all you have to say. Your point is there. Okay.
I mean,
you don't say no more. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Matt. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Wait a minute. Robert Francis O'Rourke is at least in the mid-40s of popularity in the state of Texas.
Right.
He's completely clueless on every issue.
Right.
You can say you dislike Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
You might say, well, Ted Cruz is a little bit too conservative for me.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Francis O'Rourke is completely and totally clueless. He has no idea how the world works.
Right.
He has no idea how economics works. He is an Ocasio-Cortez who happens to reside in Texas, but he's completely and totally clueless. It's not a disagreement in ideology. The Democratic Party is running completely clueless candidates who are actually getting support and significant support even in the state of Texas. Why? Not because I think people buy socialism, but they do like the concept of getting free stuff.
Mm-hmm. The big promise. The Hail Mary.
Right. So that's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know, we started off the hour with a discussion with one caller who was making the case that the Democrats and the left are winning this argument. We said, no, they're not. When you think about it overall with Supreme Court justices, it's really fascinating when you look at this. Because remember when Scalia died? Remember the mood when Scalia died and Obama was president?
Mm-hmm.
And you really think about it. there are so many people out there, and this is what I think has united Republicans, even Republicans and never Trumpers, the conservative Republican never Trumpers, who just, you know, they cannot stand Trump. They still can look at it, and they have now recognized what he has the potential of doing to the Supreme Court, which is for the next generation. You're talking the next, depending if he picks two or three justices, you're talking maybe 30 years, 30 yep. or 40 years yep. down the road of constructionist, originalist judges in this country. And so when you look at that, and it's not just him, if you think about it, it is who Trump looked at as the swamp. The swamp is now deep state.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what the swamp started out being. The swamp used to be the Republican leadership, including McConnell. But you got to give McConnell credit for all of this.
Yeah.
You got to give him credit for during the Obama administration. I got Garland.
Yeah.
Yes.
Merrick Garland.
Merrick Garland. What he did there, and then everything that has gone on since
mm-hmm.
when he came out and said sorry. Since you guys took the 60 votes away for the federal judges, we're taking it away for the Supreme Court justices.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, Gorsuch is in. And now I believe that Kavanaugh will be seated in the next couple of weeks.
I think so.
I think he could be seated next week.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Yep.
Because it's at. Number one, politically, there is no evidence here for this. You've given them a chance to have the hearing, have the vote, get them seated, because if you don't, then the Democrats know that they can throw out any allegation and stop your agenda.
Yep, they can stop every process if they can stop this one.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know, to show you how fast the news cycle is, and I realize this just now, that as we finish this week, a week ago, we were on vacation.
Yep.
And so the news cycle moved so quickly that things that were a huge issue at that point disappeared by the time that we came back, and it's like Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. We just didn't bring it up. And then during the week, I'm like, oh, I forgot about that last week. Yeah. When we were on vacation, the OK sign somehow became the sign of white supremacy.
Right.
Which was like, really? And I thought about it because I saw somebody posted a picture online Wednesday or Thursday that Ocasio-Cortez was giving the OK sign. It's like, she's a white supremacist.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, that the story had been out there for a while, and I forget who the person was that was being sworn into office, a governor, I think, of a state, and his son was on stage, and people made the comment that he was making that sign as he held his hand up against his leg. The woman sitting behind Kavanaugh.
Yes.
You know, so that was the week before we went on vacation and all of that. Where they just, they go crazy. And that is that's basically the social media, effect, where you take something like that and it just, everybody, because it started actually with the Kavanaugh hearing, it actually started, on social media.
And then,
hey, what's up with this? And then the story becomes about people on social media commenting about it.
Right. And then it became just huge when we were on vacation. I forgot what it was, but somebody else had given it. A picture of Ocasio-Cortez came out. Devin Nunes was apparently at a party here in the last week where somebody who he was with, you know, did the same thing. And now people are trolling with it.
Yeah.
But that's what happens. Everybody's trolling now with the OK sign.
Right. Yeah, so it's and it is kind of a trolling mentality in the idea of covering it. If somebody asks a question, you know, it's one thing when we talk about like Kimberly Strassel on her Twitter page, it matters because in that effect, not that every tweet is about something in the news. I'm sure a couple of times she's tweeted about something in life where, you know, where she's maybe, I don't know, on vacation or something. But most she is Kimberly Strassel from the Wall Street Journal. That's who she is, and that's her official account, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see it when a reporter does that, is on social media, and they start doing that. But often, not always, but often, it is just somebody or a group of somebodies, just random people on Twitter, start asking the question. And then the media just jumps into the fray. And it never goes anywhere. It's like a joke without a punchline. It really never goes anywhere. It's just that, and this is how the media operates today. They need to bring up a narrative or just a question and throw the question up into the air and see if it lands, see where it lands. Nobody ever answers it. And it becomes this insane, I don't know, I guess, attempt to fill space or time. You know, if you're a 24-hour news channel or if you are, you know, you got a job to do, right? And that's fill 24 hours. Or if you're a print publication still, you got space to fill. If you've got a website, you got to post new things.
That's just because you have no ads anymore.
Because you have exactly got more space to fill. You've got to, you know, these things, you got to get something on. You got to post something. Well, how about you post something real? I mean, I understand life, real life, reality can often be boring. But, you know, making something out of nothing is just, I don't know. Sometimes it's fun, but most often it just goes nowhere and serves no purpose.
So I just thought of that one because when I saw the Nunes and the Ocasio-Cortez, and it just reminded me that how that thing just blew up also. I mean, it started when we were still here, but it just seemed to blow up last week.
Yeah.
The other thing, you and I having a discussion off the air, and you had brought it up last hour because a caller brought up the declassification. And, you know, Devin Nunes, I think, was on Fox News Wednesday night and said, the stuff should be out already.
Yeah, right.
There's no reason for it not to be out.
Right.
And you had mentioned Brennan today and yesterday about how, you know, John Brennan, you know, talking about the fact that that the FBI shouldn't follow the order because you took an oath. You took an oath to the to the United States of America, not to Trump.
You did because you serve the president. He's in that position.
You serve the president, right? And it's not an unlawful order.
No, it is.
It's not you as a soldier being out somewhere and your commanding officer tells you to kill innocent men, women, and children,
right,
where you can refuse that order. And I started thinking, and you and I've always talked about Brennan, how he has seemed to just go off the rails over the last couple of months when declassification has been talked about before. And we go right back to the unmasking. And we have always stated that there may be a problem in the leadership, was a problem in the leadership of the intelligence authorities. And we have always had this question when it came to the unmasking. And Samantha Power, the UN ambassador during the Obama administration, who had apparently unmasked hundreds of different incidences of surveillance, which means unmasking, you have a FISA warrant, and then you go in and you find out who said what in that conversation,
right,
therefore unmasking the U.S. citizen that was involved in that conversation. You got to be pretty high up to do that. Well, Samantha Power had done it apparently anywhere from, depending on what the story's out there, from dozens to hundreds of times. Well, Trey Gowdy, and I hope somebody asks him before he leaves office, whatever happened to the unmasking?
Right, yeah.
Because Trey Gowdy said that when she testified in a closed session, she told them it wasn't me.
Right. Which means someone used her credentials.
Which means someone else used her credentials, and we've always said the only people that could do that would be somebody extremely high up in the White House, extremely, extremely high up, or the top leadership of the CIA. Who else could get away with it?
Right.
Who else could get away with using somebody else's credentials to unmask someone? Because that's the next question. Did somebody use, go in and get her access illegally in order to do that unmasking, which came out that she had done it? And we have always viewed that as one of the most serious charges that has just sort of seemed to disappear. And so I said to you during the top of the hour break, I said, here's Brennan talking about USA and you took an oath to the United States, not Trump. And I'm thinking to myself, he does seem to be protesting too much again, does he not?
Yeah. Well, and he really, if I watched the video of him on MSNBC the other day, and I thought to myself, you know, he looks greatly concerned. Now, if you believe him, you think he's concerned for the country. I think, because we asked the question, we don't know Brennan's involvement, but again, we're not the only ones to float this theory and say, look at, because we have to look at all possibilities until we know. But we said this, I don't know, several months ago, at least. Look at the number of people on Capitol Hill or inside the Beltway in positions of power that, while they may not have been responsible for any of that directly, if there was an abuse of power in the former administration, whether it was, you know, lying to the presenting false information to get a search warrant, a FISA court warrant, or whatever it might have been, they knew about it. Many people had to have known. It had to have been, at the very least, a very solid rumor that was going around, and I'm wondering, you know, where the fallout will be if we ever learn the truth, and I believe we will. But you look at Brennan and the position of power, you look at how he has phrased things and who he is as a person. He is an activist. He is one of those who believes, and he has said it as late as this week, you don't follow the directive of a duly elected president.
And I want to say this too, because we had had a caller last hour that we had a little exciting back and forth with, and you know, and we were talking about the fact that the Republicans have the best argument here with the whole Kavanaugh thing, and right. That's look, there's got to be evidence because the American public understands that. When it comes to the culture of American justice, most Americans understand that. That's why juries still work, because Americans do understand that you are innocent until proven guilty. Americans also know, when we hear, you know, from the hashtag Me Too that always believe the woman, Americans also know that isn't always true.
Right.
They know that the allegation itself isn't enough. It's a weak argument by the Democrats that it's all the white males and men shut up. The average American doesn't buy that.
Nope.
Why men sit on juries all the time? Men and women sit on juries together. And so, you know, they're using that because they've got nothing else, but their argument is weak. The other thing is, now you may not believe it's weak because the mainstream media is promoting it as legitimate. Another, and I want to take that statement and go into this one about the secret warrants, where we said the left used to be concerned about secret warrants. I believe America still is. The media isn't. And so you don't have that echo chamber. If this was the Trump if you reversed it and it was the Trump administration, you would see the Washington Post and the New York Times and the mainstream media each and every day talking about the government and secret warrants.
Yeah.
That's the difference. The media has come to the point of enabling wrongdoing inside of the government when it comes to secret warrants and other things like that, as long as it fits their political narrative. That's the difference. I believe America still cares about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of America doesn't want that they may want government to give them a lot of free stuff, but most of America does not want an intrusive government. They don't want a spying government. And most Americans do understand. And most Americans would are extremely concerned about the possibility, the two possibilities out there that we've been floated the last 2 years. One is that Trump colluded with the Russians to hack the voting machines. Yeah. That was the original allegation. And we know that that was because as recently as a month and a half ago, the polls still show that the majority of Democrats in this nation believe that the Russians actually changed the outcome of the election. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence of that and no news story that has ever stated that. But most Democrats still believe that today. But we know that most Americans would be concerned if Trump did that. I also believe most Americans would be concerned about what we have more evidence of, because we have zero evidence that Trump colluded with the Russians to hack the voting machines. We do have evidence that nobody is disputing that the DNC and Hillary Clinton took campaign money, paid it to a law firm, who paid it to a opposition research firm, who hired a former British spy to get dirt, as he has stated, from people, Russians close to the Kremlin, that was unverified and untruthful. I think by now we can start saying most of it was untruthful, not just unverified, in order to destroy the campaign. And when they couldn't do that, they wanted to destroy the legitimacy of the 2016 election. And much of that information was used to get a secret warrant to spy on the Trump campaign. Most Americans, I believe, care about that. And I think if you actually sat down most Democrats, they would, because they know if the Democrats get away with it now and it's allowed to happen, then Republicans will be able to get away with it. There's a possibility Republicans would be able to get away with the same thing. So the media may not be promoting it, and therefore, as we had the caller last hour, since the media isn't promoting or is promoting things that he disagrees with, he believes they're winning.
Right.
I don't believe they are.
No, I don't buy that.
Because I think the argument is something that Americans are concerned with, because it's part of the way that we think, and I call it the American culture of justice and the American culture of a non-intrusive government into our lives, which I still think is strong across the board.
Yes.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carney, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of days. I know that the experts that I've seen said that we should start seeing, Devin Nunes said the other day on Fox News, this is Wednesday night, he believes it should be out now. And that was Wednesday night. A lot of experts said by Friday they expect that things should start coming out of what the president has ordered. Declassified. If this goes into next week or 2 weeks from now, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens.
Yeah, it will be fascinating as the two major stories or events actually come together, because by the end of next week, this whole thing is, we're going to see a vote next week on Kavanaugh. So that's going to happen. Grassley is going to get to that vote.
Unless there's new developments.
Which there won't be.
Right.
And so the
and what I meant was more accusations that come out.
Yeah, which there won't be that. Right. We would have heard that by now. So you look at the president declassifying this information. By this time next week, there could be a very different landscape right now or at that point inside the Beltway. I mean, think about it. What we may learn from the declassification of those documents, a confirmation vote, and Kavanaugh being seated. My question is this, because there's a lot of motivation right now, as we mentioned, even Britt Hume recognizing it. You said it yesterday on the show. Britt Hume said it during the day on Thursday or tweeted it. And there's a lot of motivation and gelling of the Republicans, of the people on the right now, because of the Kavanaugh thing. Here's what I think the media doesn't, the mainstream media and the liberal media does not see. And that is the lasting effect. You know, we talked about how the cycle moves so fast because of social media and the big stories, you know, kind of go away very quickly. But the issues don't leave with people on the right. We tend to remember things. We tend to remember the behavior of individuals. So to say that it wouldn't be a lasting motivator for the midterms, I'm sorry, but you're overlooking and in fact underestimating how people on the right think and what they remember and what is important to them. For VDO Roadlog, here's your forecast.
Flooding in the Carolinas is not expected to crest for some rivers until Monday or Tuesday of next week. And that, of course, means more road closures in the area. Portions of I-95 were closed for a time. So even the major interstates being affected in the region, as well as the state highways and local roads. In the early morning hours, a frontal boundary will extend from the upper Great Lakes down to southern Texas. Now, that rain will be sweeping toward the east. We'll see the greatest amount of rainfalls around an area of low pressure in the upper Midwest and Great Lakes region. So look for showers today north of I-90 in North and South Dakota and in Minnesota and Wisconsin, extending down I-35 for a good part of the day through Des Moines, Topeka, and Oklahoma City. Later this afternoon, we could see heavy amounts of rain for eastern Texas and southern Louisiana along I-10. Those showers make their way to the East Coast by Saturday and Sunday. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I guess that's the exciting thing about doing this job is that from week to week, as you said, we could be in a completely different place 1 week from today.
This is why we really, I mean, vacation is great. Everybody needs some time off. But it's, you know, we get to the point, it's like, okay, by the time we get back, if something happens on Wednesday during vacation, by the time we get back, the whole world will have changed, and it will be an irrelevant point. Our audience will be like, why are you guys mentioning something from so long ago? But that's how it runs right now.
Well, no, because when last week when we were on vacation, as I said, I was ready to get back Wednesday. But it's so funny because Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, it's like, oh, okay, this is something. No.
They won't be there.
I can't put that in my mind anymore that this is something that, okay, let me analyze this. This is something that we'll talk about on Monday. No, we could be in a completely different universe by the time we get to Monday.
Yeah, it won't be there.
And so when you look at the fact that, and I agree with you, I don't see any other way that Republicans can go except to have him confirmed by next week.
Yep.
And means he is seated on October 1st.
Yep. He will be.
With the new. And then at that point, where we will be with the declassified documents about the FISA warrant, does this have the potential of blowing this whole thing up? And I right before the midterm, you and I had said that we believe that the president should have declassified in August because we figured there would be some kind of fight. An illegal fight not to release it, or when they released it, it's still so highly redacted that you can't get anything out of it. And who makes that decision? Now, the president has said, no, these pages are not to be redacted in any form.
Right.
And, you know, that's an order from the president, not in a different branch of government where there, of course, would be a court fight How do you have a court fight when it's your own branch of government that you have absolute authority over?
Right. I just don't. I guess that would be it. It's going. But see, putting all of this into the same arena, this is the overall tactic by the resistance. The resistance isn't just Keith Olbermann in his mom's basement anymore. It's
now
people at the FBI. And it has been. But we know it now to be true. I mean, we suspected that was going on, but I believe it's people like Brennan, former CIA director, basically telling people to disobey a lawful directive by a duly elected president. And so, yeah, I could see them. Here's my question. Who would file the complaint in the court, would have standing to file the complaint in the court for a judge, a federal judge, to say the president's that can't happen at this point? It would have to be somebody at the Justice Department.
Well, I think that what would have to happen, and again, this is such an unusual thing that if they don't do what the president says and it's their own department, the only recourse is fire him and hire somebody else to do it.
Right. And that would be a lawful firing.
Right. But you're telling me that Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, is not going to do what the president has said?
And he's not going to order the directive because this is how it would happen. The president's ordering a directive. And the FBI director is saying this comes straight from the White House. It is to be declassified. There is no way around that. Fully declassified. It doesn't matter whether you agree with the president or not. It is not unlawful.
So is this where we get to the point of that? Did you see that were we on vacation when this happened, where Hannity said that the president will fire Sessions after Kavanaugh is seated? And I'm thinking, where'd that come from? Hmm. He's close to the president.
Yeah.
So, I again, all conspiracy theory on my part, all total, complete, irresponsible speculation. So you think about it, is it because they knew they would get resistance on this? And it's clearly in order. And if they don't release it, that Sessions would be the person to go, not Rosenstein, but Sessions. Because Sessions would still approve this, right? I would think. The FBI is under the Department of Justice.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I was thinking myself. The chain of command. Now, keep in mind, the Justice Department is supposed to be autonomous, right?
Mm-hmm.
But who in that chain of command, would be responsible? We know at some point Director Wray would have to tell, the agents responsible for processing this, that you have to do this. This is because you get back to the insane, I guess, call to action, if you will, by Brennan the other day on MSNBC. He wasn't saying, well, there's a process for this, that they can legally, they can say no. No, that's not what he was saying. He was telling them to be activists. That's what he was saying. Disobey a lawful order.
Mm-hmm.
That you swore and you pledged to this country, you didn't pledge to Trump. Well, technically that's true. You didn't pledge to a person, but you did pledge to the office of the President of the United States and the Justice Department. You serve the nation just as the duly elected president does. Whether you agree with him or not, that's a fact. Brennan, by the way, is sounding very desperate.
that you and I have had this discussion more off the air than on the air, because we've always kept our, if you listen to the show for a long time, you know that we've always kept our eye on the unmaskings.
Right.
That seems to have not been in the news for the longest time, but we've always wondered, is that where it leads, or are his hands all over the FISA warrant? And I'll even take it a step further. Is Brennan's hands all over when the FISA court rebuked the Obama administration for not following the rules and regulations that they had agreed to back in 2011 when it came to FISA warrants? Remember, that came out in late April, early May of 2017.
Right.
That the FISA court said that because the Obama administration, right at the last minute, was it last week before the election, went to the FISA courts and said, oh, by the way, you know how we agreed to do all these things and follow the rules and regulations to ensure that Americans' rights weren't violated when getting secret warrants? We didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah, we didn't.
We didn't do it.
Yeah.
And they were rebuked officially by the FISA court, even though we don't know precisely what was done because it's all top secret.
Mm-hmm.
And so you and I've always had our eye on the unmasking portion of it. And Trey Gowdy stating that Samantha Power said, I didn't order the unmasking. I was the ambassador to the United Nations.
Right.
And you and I asked that question. Why would she be unmasking anybody as a UN ambassador? She claims she didn't do it, is what Trey Gowdy said.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has ever challenged Trey Gowdy in that statement that I can recall.
Right. No, I haven't. We haven't seen a follow-up as of late from Trey Gowdy, and you asked that question earlier. Someone has to ask him before he's no longer in office. You know, at some point, where did that go? Did anybody follow up on that? You know, are there any working theories that apply there? I mean, there have to be unofficially, but I mean, I guess the frustration is that the oversight committees didn't. This is why the president, this is why we're here now. This is why the president has to do this, is because the insanity. Think about this. The oversight committees. Again, duly elected people assigned to committees for a reason. They get to be our eyes when we actually can't see it. And the subpoenas were not answered. How many times has that happened since Trump has been president? Well, it's been going on for a long, long time, way too long, and now we're at this point. That's insanity.
Well, you know when Brennan is talking about America while promoting what we call the F mindset, which is the fascist mindset, and we use that because they always accuse Trump of being an authoritarian and a fascist.
Right.
And he said, well, excuse me, where? But the fact of Brennan saying that the FBI don't follow what the president tells you to do because you took an oath to America, not to the president. Please explain that, Mr. Brennan.
Yeah.
Explain that more than just the rhetoric. Explain why. And, of course, he doesn't.
No.
And that's when he said that, you and I both said to each other, wow, he's protesting again too much. He's taking this to a level that is, at least for us, unprecedented. He's out of office. Why is he always commenting on this? And we have said, is it because he believes he's in the middle of this and this will expose him? Because everything else we've been told so far, that lives will be at stake and sources and methods will be unknown or will be exposed and people could be killed, they've already done that and they've lied about that.
Yep.
The Democrats, Adam Schiff, have continually lied about that when the Republicans want things redacted so the American public knows what happened. So they continue to lie about it. Dershowitz said it too. Most things that are classified these days aren't because it's top secret and security to the nation. It's to cover people's posterior.
Well, that's what we've been finding out. Adam Schiff, how many times this is going to divulge sources and methods, and that wasn't the case. That was a lie. It was a series of lies. The same lie repeated about how many different documents during this entire process. And time again, it was shown it was a lie. The media doesn't focus on that, but we will. We will sure as hell call him out on that. Because the American people deserve to know the truth. We don't care about the fallout. The fallout's going to happen regardless.
I don't control the information. I don't control the behavior or actions of others.
And I can't change what they did in the past. But the American people deserve to see all of it.
Yep. And the elected representatives represent whom? We the people.
That's it.
Sorry, most people don't understand, but that's how the whole thing works.
Yeah, that's kind of the that's kind of the point.
Yeah. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio, and he is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, hang on. Jeff, Alex, and Joe, we'll get your calls after the top of the hour. And we just a lot of things we wanted to say, but we know that you all have...
You want to complete your thoughts. And by the way, right. We want to say thank you to America's Truck Drivers. The National Truck Driver Appreciation Week was last week. We here at this program, going back to the origins of this program, have been thanking truck drivers and hopefully you know that we show our appreciation for the backbone of the economy every day, not just one week a year. So throughout the entire month up until September 28th, in fact, going up until September 28th, what we're doing is we're giving you a chance to go on our Facebook page, maybe share a picture of your truck, tell us about yourself, how long you've been in trucking. But there's a post right there on our Facebook page that's pinned to the top. So comment on that, share your photos. And we'll be random drivers will be selected from those submissions on our Facebook page Monday through Friday. And we got great, great prizes from Pilot Flying J. In fact, a gift card from them. Cobra CB radios, GPS units as well. Tough Tested has some earbuds that they're throwing in and charging kits and much more. So Red Eye Radio and Shell Rotella, just want to say thank you, drivers, for everything you do. Delivering America's freight, we do not forget that on this program, and we thank you for those sacrifices.
They got me all my stuff that I've needed for my entire life.
You think about it.
just the last week, my entire life.
You think about that. I mean, if the trucks stopped, the economy... I remember an ice storm in our area 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And they couldn't get trucks into the grocery stores because we had cobblestone ice on the roads. And in Texas, we don't handle ice very well. And, you know, we couldn't clear the ice. The store shelves were bare after just 2 days.
Yep.
It is not good. America's truck drivers, we thank you for everything you do.
This is Red Eye Radio. On Westwood One.